all the same. May I begin by reading a little meditation to you of my own produce. It's called Life Only. In its nature, life is always coming into manifestation to complete all things visible. We never fully realize this. We always think we have to create the perfection of things that exists in our surroundings. We must evolve greater ingenuity, be more powerful. We must be more able than others. Where should perfection come from if we did not create it? It does not exist unless we make it. Let us be proficient. Let us be more clever, more active, that we may create perfection, beauty, greatness around us. And so we perfect things according to our standard, and others do the same, till we begin to compete, till we feel superior and different, till we are the creator, till we stop creation to worship ourselves and holds back life, hinders life. We do not know. We do not understand that the very nature of life is to complete. That in its nature, life is always coming into manifestation to complete all things. That life is eternal. Holds in its very nature the perfection of all things, that through the eternity shall come into manifestation. Men and universes, universes and men. Men that shall become gods, gods that shall become over gods. Glories, greatness, unendingness, life only. Till we begin to realize that we should let go our cleverness, our proficiency, our greatness, that we should not hinder life, that we should not mar life. How humiliating that we should only be as nothing, that we might be life, everything. Well, Jørgen started with retrospection. I'll do the same. I go back to the very start of the Theosophical Society. And I begin to realize what an immense wisdom the masters gave us in that start. The whole society is built on the idea of the divine wisdom and brotherhood. And that in 1875. And now, on this day, we realize how very, very important it is that we should have become brothers through all these many years. Because the whole civilization as we know it is in danger. I would say, according to my personal experience and outlook, that it is impossible to save it. Because we cannot change people. We can't even change ourselves. We can't change the members of the Theosophical Society. It's impossible. I'm very, very concerned about the world situation. I think, what can we do? All that we see done to save the situation is almost everything that we do here on our side done in the wrong direction. It is along the direction I have given here in my little meditation. We are trying to make it according to our will, our understanding, our science, and our philosophy. And the masters try to get us look at it from the other end. There are many, many improvements in this world going on today and have been for a long time. We get better living, better houses, better organizations, and we get many organizations. The situation becomes worse and worse. Can any of you tell me anything that you could say to one of these different organizations of people, either here or anywhere else, that is against their pet idea, which they would accept? And there are many pet ideas in the world. Let's just take Christianity. There's something like 2,600 different outlooks on Christianity, officially. And I should think you may add three notes behind and you perhaps would get all the individual different outlooks. You can say the same with policy, with anything whatever. You can't move anyone out of his circle. It's impossible. We of the Theosophical movement, we have had this given to us from the very beginning. We are just like the others. Well, I may say, not to speak about myself, I've been working publicly for 50 years. So I know a little of how we are. And we are just as we were 50 years ago. Split up in individualities. And we are beginning, as theosophists, and that I think is a danger, to copy the outer world, the method of science, which is to analyze and build up as from below, from that which exists as of favor. Where they thought they could build a tower up unto heaven. We can't. So I can say, and I really believe it is true, we can't save this situation. What is going to happen? Shall all this that have been built up through these many, many years be spoiled? Shall we go back to, well, what we call non-civilized conditions? It may happen. And it is our fault if it happens. And we can't help it. Well, what can we do? Can we get rid of our own pet ideas? If not, we cannot be any saviors in this situation. Can we get rid of everything that keeps us a prisoner to the whole conception of life which we have, to the whole conception of ourselves that we have? That's the question. Can you get rid of yourself, of your own reactions towards other people and towards yourself? We must make ourselves absolutely unconditioned by anything, because life is unconditioned. You cannot in any way condition life. And so we have to make ourselves unconditioned. You can't do that through studies. As we heard today, this morning, through meditations, through austerities, through anything but devotion to life alone. But we have more devotion to ourselves, to our personality. We want to be different, and we care when other people are different from us. We have to fight them. We don't won't allow them to be different. So we forget our brotherhood. Or we won't allow them to think different. So we try to preach to them, as I am trying to now. That hasn't anything whatever with brotherhood. But we must go on helping each other to become free. I should say, become that which we really are. Well, I had some, to me, wonderful meditations last year, I think it was, when I went home back from Africa, South Africa, on the world situation and on that which is behind. And I went back day by day, as long as the voyage lasted. And I came back to a realization of something so tremendous that it gave me an absolute different outlook upon everything. I couldn't get further back. Of course, as we have heard, there is veil upon veil behind. I haven't solved the problem. But I have seen for myself, as far back as I could get, I found a low. I couldn't use any other word because I know no other word. Of necessity. And that at the same time of absolute perfection. And there was nothing else, nothing whatever else in the whole universes, all universes that could exist, all that had existed, all that would at any time come into existence. There was only this tremendous conception of perfectness as the base of the whole. So I said to myself, everything existing in this and other universes and worlds and individuals has within it this tremendous perfection. We are that. We can't get outside it in any way, because there exists nothing whatever outside. We are that perfection, every one of us. Why should we want to be as the others are? Why should we try to compete with their outlook on truth? Truth can never be expressed. I had a letter just a few weeks ago from a friend in Copenhagen. He had been taken very much aback by reading in one of Krishnamurti's books something like this: when you have said or expressed a truth, it's a falsehood. And he was very much taken aback and asked me to explain it to him. But I haven't tried to. Of course it must be a falsehood when it has been expressed. If you present it as being the truth, if it wasn't, it would mean that everything was in that expression. All universes, everything was in that expression. No one could find any other expression for truth. Truth can never be expressed. And that is because at the base of the universe is this absolute perfection. And you can go on creating universes forever so long, unending, without expressing all that is in this perfection. It can never come to an end. So, if you take that as your start, and you see, the conception of brotherhood is beginning in this center. It's not beginning in the circumference. It's beginning in this center. This central, I can't say idea, because it's no idea. This reality, or even beyond reality, of perfection, absolute perfection. And you are, and he is, and she is, and everyone is, all of them, some expression of that reality. You might think of a circle with a center, with a point as a center. Well, you know, the circle, the circumference, is always also points, an infinity of points, if that means anything to us. But it is all a function of the center. So you might say, the center has moved out in all these infinite directions. And there you have them represented. They are all different from each other, though they are all representing the one in the middle. And if you think of the radii uniting them, which of course always exist, with the center, you can see there are not two of these that are in absolutely the same direction. They're all different from each other. But they are all expressing the same idea. And there is an infinity of points, and there is an infinity of radii. So we are all of us, and the universe is each of them, one of these radii. They are not two alike, and we are all one. Now, we said, and we have said it so very beautifully in these three talks I have heard here since I came last night, that the next realization we have to come to, what we call the new time, as John so rightly said, it is not new, it is old, it's the base of it. We call it the new time. To get into that new time, we have to develop buddhi, universal love. Well, what does that mean? Where does it come from? It doesn't come from here, out here in the warring personalities. In the personalities that have some feelings that they call love. It has nothing whatever to do with that. It comes from above. Buddhi is an expression of the one center. And that one center is this perfection of everything. You could call it, we may call it, the will to perfection. Will to perfection, well, it is perfect. And as it is perfect, and as it is everything, it will always have what we call a tremendous power as its own nature that will express this perfection. Therefore, we call it will. A will is a power that creates that which it is. Of course, that can never be seen in any way. You can never, no one has ever seen God, as they say in the scriptures. No one has ever known the truth. He can be the truth, and he can be God. But you can never know him here. Well, when that one will, the will of the universe, expresses itself, we call it buddhi. Then you have this absolute knowledge of being the one in activity, in all the many radii. Therefore, it is always the nature of buddhi, I would dare to say, must be the will of the Creator, the will to perfection, and the will to perfection of everything. I want you to become perfect because we are one, though we are different. And I can say that to every one thing or person, and in every thing existing I meet, you and I are one up there. And I want you to make you perfect. Otherwise, I'm not perfect. And that is what we call love. Because that makes me 100% interested in you. When I look at you from a personal point of view, I want to criticize you. Why are you different from me? Why do you have that position I like to have, or that opinion, or anything else? Look at from that point. Your opinion is my opinion. Your position is my position. Your troubles are my troubles, and so on and so forth. That is love. Unconditioned love. Now, we have been living in the mind. We know that we are still. And the mind is just, as Leadbeater said, I think, just the fingertip of the Buddha. So we have forgotten this oneness. And we have begun to compete in every way. And then we have created this chaos that we are living in. Now we are at our problem. And how can we not develop? How can we make it possible for Buddha, or to Buddha, to express itself through me? When Buddha comes into, now I'm speaking personally, into me, well, and I want to live according to the highest will, and that is through love. One of my neighbors says something nasty about me, and I become angry, and so Buddha withdraws. Anything where I leave the line of being the other is a resistance, an absolute, that makes it absolutely impossible to Buddha to express itself. That's why we have heard, you must leave your world. Leave it perfectly. You must die, even, they say in the Christian. And I think they say the same in the other religions. Absolutely die from this world to live in that. We can't be both mind adjusted and express Buddha at the same time. That is to say, we can't be brothers unless we can make ourselves absolutely free of this personality. It's no good calling us our brothers. But then become brothers. Of course, we call each other with names, as long as we see each other. We say something different when they are gone. We can only become it by being brothers. So now we come back to our problem in the daily life, as we call it. We have only daily life. All is daily life. Every moment, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning, is daily life. And in that period, we must make ourselves absolutely free of reactions. Is it no good talking about it? You must start. And you must start at home, with yourself, not with the others. Don't care for the others. You can't care for them. You can't really care for anyone till you are free. Because all your motives are colored without perhaps your being able to see it, colored by your personality. So you must make yourself free. Whatever people say or do or think to you, you must learn to stop reacting to it. It's no good to repress your reactions. It doesn't help a bit. You must get rid of them. Be absolutely free of them. Otherwise, you get nowhere. So you have to take up the fight yourself. Make yourself free of anything coming from outside. From your so-called fate, your troubles, your sorrows, What is your sorrow? What is your troubles? Do you think the masters are giving us these troubles to evolve us? We talk of karma. Karma, that is all the incidents where we haven't lived according to this divine perfection. And it is ours, because every time we have moved aside, we are aside. And we have to get back to our position in the line, in our radii. So that is what affects our life, not anything outside us. The master can watch us and help us, assist us in many, many ways. But all this we have to do ourselves. All our troubles is just the adjustment of ourselves. So it's a blessing. Troubles, when you look at them from your personality, blessings when you look at them from above. I've never been quite happy about all this talk about the way of sorrow, the way of crucifixion, because I think, to me, it gives a false understanding. It's not a crucifixion to the higher, to the real. It's a crucifixion to the outer. It's a sorrowful way to the outer, to the personality. But it is a way of happiness and bliss to the real. Therefore, we must stop, react personal to our troubles. And so in every way. And then, having started that with ourselves, we go on trying it on other people. If you meet one of your friends with whom you are a little, not quite on the line, you get angry perhaps, upset, or other personal reactions you may have, overexcited. Think that is the only person in the world and so on that you can live with and all that. You are dependent on that personality. How can you then be open to Buddha when you live in your personality? You must let that go. You must learn not to react to other personalities. And not to want to educate them. Because you will always educate them along your pattern and not along their own. Master K. Yeats has said a wonderful thing, he has said many of course, in at the feet of the master. You can help your brother through that which you have in common with him, the divine life. And that's the only way we can help. So now, we are going into that age. We have to get in there, because it is over us. So either we have to be washed away by some catastrophe, or we move in there. We must make ourselves free. And when we succeed in getting just the least glimpse of this wonderful thing that we are, we will, as we have heard in these lectures, the eggshell will burst. And we suddenly realize our unity with him.